And welcome back to the Learn to Code podcast. This is Jorge Escobar, and I've been learning Python lately and Informatica. Well, one is a programming language, the other is a tool for extracting, transform, and load data. And I had to say that the most difficult of the two is not actually Python, it's actually Informatica. I've been dealing with hardware issues for one storage device that I was using for installing Informatica. And if you digress even a little bit on the installation process for Informatica, well, that's going to cost you a lot of time. So thankfully, I was able to install it. I was required to change a failing hard drive. So I replaced it with an SSD, a really old SSD, but an SSD nonetheless. So I was able to install Informatica finally today after a week of trying out stuff. But I managed to watch the second course on Informatica, which is basically the second section on a Udemy course. The course I'm taking right now is about Informatica. It's originally a packing, I think it's called a packed course. In the PAD website, the course is divided in three courses: the basics, the intermediate, the advanced, and the expert, I guess. So in Udemy, they resell this course as an entire course. So it's divided in three sections. Every single section is representing their original courses on PAC, which are basically $10 courses on PAC. And here is, I believe it's a $10 course too. So it's not a big deal. I had to say that although the course is very well explained, it's ignoring a big elephant in the room, so to speak. Like installing Oracle itself is not easy to do. And they don't show how to use PostgreSQL or Microsoft SQL Server in replacement for Oracle databases in order to use Informatica. Informatica is a software that manages ETLs, which is the abbreviation for extract data, transform that data, and load that data into flat files or databases, in other databases. It's basically a transformative software that allows you to transform the data that you are reading from one source into another new one source and introduce it there. It's very helpful because I would like to think that, in my position, in every other job I've been in, I've been the database administrator and the database developer at the same time. So I do have full access to all databases on whatever projects I've been working on. But 2020s are not very kind to todologists, basically people that do everything. And now, on one of my previous projects, I was unable to get access to the database schema. So I was basically dealing with views, and I was only reading data from tables, and I was not allowed or encouraged to change the DDLs for the tables themselves or the relationships. So basically, everything I was used to do before, I wasn't able to do it. Alas, big companies are not depending on todologists, and I think it's the right way to go, because depending on a single person to develop your system is not really a good bet. And this is coming from a guy that has been there and done that. But the truth is that it's not really that scalable or maintainable. 10 years ago, or I think it's been 14 years ago, I developed a database application that is still running today. I did manage, like 5 years ago, I did notice that I found on the street an ex-colleague, and he told me that my system was still up. And I was like, oh really? And it's been 10 years when that happened. So, and it's been more like 14 years now. that happened. So I was pretty amazed that they didn't really discard the system or replace it with something better. I was working with a database application. The underlying database engine was Oracle. And it's running on Linux Red Hat. And that was my very first Linux distribution, Linux Red Hat. And I fell in love with it. Very simple to use, I think. And I got help from a Linux user back in the day. But after seeing how the performance of the database on Linux, well, I fell in love with the performance. And that was the day that I decided to learn how to use Linux myself. And I began working my way up. I didn't got money to buy Red Hat Linux support. So what I did was to get the hang of the easiest distribution to use back in the day was Ubuntu Linux. And I think it still is, I think. I'm using Pop OS myself. So I am a Pop OS user right now. And for my server, I'm using Ubuntu server because that's the thing that I learned how to use properly. And currently I'm working with Ubuntu server right now. So I've been using Ubuntu server for 12 or 13 years already. And I didn't got a reason to really change for another distribution server-wise. The server version of Ubuntu Linux does not include a desktop graphical user interface because it's not really needed. Most of the servers on Linux are basically headless, which means that you are not going to be required. You do not require a desktop environment anyway. Most of the time, everything is being done via command line interface. And you basically install your software. You configure text files in order to use that software. And then you allow your server to do its thing. And as the years pass, Ubuntu server changed a little bit. And now allows you to configure your own firewall inside the operating system, allowing you to configure a firewall, basically. Which is very funny because in today's age, knowing how to configure a firewall is basically an outdated skill, you know. Nobody really needs it anymore unless you are planning to deploy your own cloud service. But even if you manage to do that successfully, pretty much everybody is going to prefer to learn how to work with Google Cloud or Amazon Web Services or Azure, Microsoft Azure. But anyway, I'm digressing again, I guess. So yeah, I fell in love with Python now. It's been today is Friday. This is still Friday. Next Monday is going to be, let me see what day it is actually. Next Monday, 6th, June 2022. I'm going to be making a month of learning Python. I have to say that it's a reliable programming language. It's quite easy to get into. And right now, I am practicing object-oriented programming in Python. I am practicing and creating classes, creating child classes, which are basically classes that inherit everything from the parent class. I've been creating, I'm trying to create private attributes, private methods, but basically those do not really exist in Python. You can actually override or call private methods. So it's basically, it doesn't really exist in Python. And I think it's not really needed. Now that I think about it, I guess that the philosophy of Python is getting things done simpler. In a simple way. So, and I think I'm getting over the fact that I'm not going to get protected or private attributes and methods in Python anyway. And I don't think they need it. It's really easy to import files into other scripts. It's really easy to inherit from other classes. to call methods on other classes, to chain constructors. In Python, constructors are called with the __init__ method. And they are called dunder methods. So it's a very interesting and easy to get into programming language. And I'm trying to become an expert on the syntax itself. I'm trying to try everything at least once. I'm trying unit test. I've been trying unit testing for the last week. I was practicing unit testing and test-driven development in Python. And I managed to make a crude examples of unit tests with the unit test library. I haven't tried to build something else or practice PyTest, which is a really good unit testing library. But the course I got for that, I got very disappointed on the course. So, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to be proficient with unit tests, the library for Python. And then I'm going to be moving on into PyTest. I don't want to skip stuff. This time I want to become at least, maybe not an expert, but at least proficient in, I want to be a good developer, not an excellent developer. I think that being just a proficient programmer in Python is going to be a really good goal. And I've been just trying out the language for a month already, and I feel I'm progressing really fast, I think. But the true test is going to be when I get to build a project. And I got several in mind. The first one is going to be, in order to for me to learn to code even more with Python, is during my time on the course for, I think it's called the Python Ultimate course or something like that, 2022, you know, on Udemy, there is a chapter or a section that is called, I think it's called Python scripting, which is basically a little compilation of four or three little projects. And one of them is a Python script that allows you to merge several PDF files together. Let's say that you have several PDF files, and you want to merge them into one. So you may pick up one, two, three, or several PDF files and create a new one that is basically the merge of all of those PDF files. I think that's going to be useful. Another thing that I was looking into is to create watermarks on PDF files. You basically give the script one PDF file, which is the file you want to be watermarked, and the second file is the actual PDF file that contains the watermark itself. And then what is going to happen is that on the first file, you're going to mark every single page with the watermark PDF. That's another interesting thing. So I was thinking that, well, since Python has its own graphical user interface library called the tkinter, I think it's called tkinter, I don't know. So I was thinking about creating a very simple graphical user interface for those scripts, because doing so in the command line is fun and everything, but let's be honest, regular people are not, normal people are not going to be executing or installing Python. They just want to download an executable file, a binary file, double click on it, open an app, and do the thing. So that's my plan for the next month, to build this little tool to do stuff with PDF files. And it's going to help me to actually create little projects. Another project that I want to work on is that since I am a streamer, as well as a YouTuber and a podcaster, you know, because you're listening to me, I was planning on building my very own Pomodoro app for my to be compatible with OBS. I am undecided of what features that app is going to contain, but basically, I want the Pomodoro app to contain. Well, first I want it to contain. Basically, create the Pomodoro clock to set up. How many minutes every Pomodoro is going to contain? How many Pomodoros do you need to get into a bit break, or how many minutes it's going to is the break going to contain, and you know, so forth. I want that to be a graphical user interface application, because the logic, I guess I can create that with classes or with functional programming, and say everything in text files, in flat files, you know, maybe store everything in JSON files and gather the data from the JSON files and load them into dictionaries. But I haven't learned really how to work with JSON files other than what I saw on YouTube, because the main course on Python didn't contain how to work with JSON files or XMLs or anything really. But I do know that there are libraries that allow me to work with JSON files and XMLs and whatnot. There are basically libraries to do everything in Python, pretty much. So I want to make that little project for myself, create a PDF application, a Pomodoro clock, and another one I would like to have is to create a Twitter app, you know, maybe at the Kinder. One of my options will be, and it's going to be the hardest one to make, I think, is since I have access to the Twitter API, so I'm basically able to log in with my username on Python and pretty much replicate whatever the website, the Twitter application is doing. So I was thinking about, well, you know what? Maybe I could remember or gather up information about how to build a new Twitter, you know? Maybe not adding functionality per se, but at least I would like to see a better Twitter for myself. The first idea I have is that Twitter seems like an app focused on mobile, really. You know, if you open Twitter today on the web, you are going to pretty much see a very simple website. It's going to be divided in three columns. The main one is the center one, where you are going to be seeing your feed. On the left side, you are going to see the main menu, home, explore, notifications, messages, bookmarks, etc. On the right, you are going to see the what's happening column, who to follow, and the links to the terms of service, privacy policy, etc. I would like to move all of that information from the right column to a footer, maybe, you know, or maybe to the very top, and pretty much in a very small place. The thing that I'm thinking about is to, when you are opening Twitter on your PC, a lot of space, if you have a really big monitor or monitors, a lot of the space is wasted, because you are basically watching a single tweet or two, maybe. It doesn't really matter that you have a really big monitor. But I may like to have a distribution similar to Pinterest, you know, to basically fill up your page, the space on your, basically the space on your monitor filled with pictures. In this case, filled with very close together tweets. Why not? So having a list of tweets very close together, that would be a really good thing to have, you know. You have your entire monitor filled with tweets, so you don't really have to scroll down too much in order to read them. So that's one of my dreams, basically, to create a new... maybe it's an idea that is not going to stick a lot, but I want to try it anyway, you know. And basically create a new Twitter, similar to Pinterest. So if you have a bigger monitor, you're going to see a lot more tweets. And I think that will be useful. Another thing is to maybe create columns and show, maybe in every single column, show a list. If you are using lists on Twitter, maybe not many people are using lists. But if you are using list, you may assign a list into a single column and see everything there. Basically, you have a very big monitor or a regular monitor. You may see, I don't know, from 5 to 6 or 7 columns, and allow yourself to read tweets on your big monitor. And because right now, if you open Twitter, you can barely see just 1 or 2 tweets. And if the tweets contain pictures, you're not seeing too many But anyway, I've been learning Informatica too. And, well, it's old software. It's antiquated. It's not abandoned. I wonder if it's still on development. I don't think so. But it's running and I'm learning it. So I think that I'm going to be using Informatica alongside Python and the Pandas library. So my plan is to create, since I'm learning how to program in Python, I'm going to be building bots and really useful bots. You know, my ambition is to replace myself on that job with bots. That's basically it. Obviously, there are going to be decisions that only a human being can do. But the thing is that most of the time on the job is going to be moving data that I don't even know what it does or what it is, moving data from one place to another. That's the job. And it's going to be repetitive. And my idea is to basically recreate myself in a bot and allow the bot to take decisions to basically replace myself as an ETL engineer, as an extract, transform, and load data engineer. And I think that Python has the potential to become that, to replace me, and to do it really well and really fast. I had seen what libraries like, I had seen that Python with the help of libraries can actually open Google Chrome and click away and read data from the page and load that data into variables or into attributes. And that alone is giving it a lot of power, you know? You can open pages. Just to give you an idea, if you want, you can create a bot that actually gets inside a social media app and download every single picture you see or the app sees on your feed into a folder. Just to give you an idea. And that's not really that hard to do. Well, depending on the social app, you know. Maybe Instagram is going to be harder, but not really. But basically, you can program a bot that makes your own work or that does whatever you want to do and takes this and takes complex decisions. So I'm not saying that I'm going to be doing that in the next month or maybe in the next year, but this is not the first time I'm doing it. I'm going to be building these little bots little by little. And these are going to be tools first, and they are not going to be automatic. I'm going to be executing them, and I'm going to be building this library myself little by little up until the point where my ambition is that I no longer need to be sitting there and basically free myself from the job itself. But I am sure that it's not going to be easy, and maybe I'm never going to be able to just sit back and make my own day job a passive income. I don't think so, because I still have to log in for the meetings, you know, got a requirement from the client, and developing whatever is required for the client. So, but I recognize that Python is really powerful, and I want it to be doing more stuff for me and my client. Why not? So I recognize the superpowers that I'm going to get once I get the hang of Python for real. So that's why I'm going to be using this weekend for learning purposes. I've been streaming myself and my learning process. And, I've been working very hard, I think. I've been making videos for YouTube. I just did one yesterday for how to install Oracle XE because it's a requirement for Informatica. I've been reading the comments for people that are very grateful because, let's be honest, there is not much content for that in Spanish. So I record my videos now in Spanish. I've been recording in English a little bit, but I am afraid that people in Mexico and Latin America in general, we don't really have content in Spanish, basically. And I've been telling people to learn English, and you are going to find a reservoir of information and knowledge. But I'm having second thoughts about giving that advice, actually, because learning another language is not easy at all. It took me around 12 years since I was a little kid, and nobody was teaching me. I was just picking up books, dictionaries first, and then I move on into reading manga in English, and then I move on into reading books in English and translating them word by word. And then my brain began making the connection for it. I spent 12 years doing that. I was translating word by word video games for the Nintendo system. I was translating my favorite game, Ninja Gaiden, for the NES, for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And I wanted to know what they were talking about on the game, you know, because there is a movie being played in the background, you know. You are playing this ninja and cutting down enemies left and right, but the truth is that there is a lot of cinematics, so to speak, maybe cutscenes, and they were talking a lot, but I didn't know why were they talking about, because I didn't understand English. So I was reading, but I didn't really understood. So 12 years of translating with a dictionary in my hand and the controller in the other. And then the 2000s came, and I was logging into Ventrilo servers and TeamSpeak servers and playing online games. First Unreal Tournament, then Unreal Tournament 3, and then 2004 came, and I was expecting World of Warcraft, basically. I was a fan of Warcraft 3. I was a really hardcore fan. I was actually building entire campaigns in the world editor for Warcraft 3 with recordings and everything. That was the moment that I decided to learn how to record voices properly, because my voice recording was really bad, and I think it still is. But anyway, I do have an SM7B, a short SM7B right now, with a Koda style activator. It arrived today, so I'm recording the podcast on that. It arrived today, and I'm testing it. But I think tomorrow morning I'm going to be actually researching how to configure it, because I'm not getting the sound I want. But I believe I just need to slow down and to watch more videos about it, or maybe read the manual. But anyway, I think the sound is good, but I can see on Udacity, that's the software I'm using to record, that I am breaking up from time to time. Maybe I'm getting too loud right now, for example, and I'm going outside the range of breaking, basically. So I'm losing data there. But anyway, but the important thing is that I'm trying to be better than the day before, and I don't know why. I don't really have an arching goal or a big design behind my actions right now. So I am still grieving for the loss of my wife, but I don't want that to define my life right now. I'm trying to be better, and buying this piece of gear didn't fill me with joy, but because it's going to make me work in order to get the satisfaction. This weekend is going to be very interesting. I'm going to be learning Python. I'm going to be practicing object-oriented programming in Python, because I just tried it today, and I realized that I already forgotten a lot of things. I'm going to be practicing. I do have my resources. I'm going to be practicing inheritance, method overloading, and practicing Python, basically. And I'm going to be practicing and learning Informatica this weekend. I need to complete my Informatica training by Monday, because I'm going to be meeting with colleagues, and they are going to transfer what they do with Informatica. So if I'm not at least a journeyman, or basically have a good understanding of how to work with the Informatica, then the knowledge transfer is going to fail. And I do not plan on allowing that. I'm going to be working on Informatica. I'm going to be dedicating maybe an hour a day for Python. But the rest of the day is going to be full Informatica training for me. Starting, I was starting way before, but this weekend I'm going to dedicate it basically that. So I'm not going to be playing more video games this weekend, sadly. And I'm going to be focusing on Informatica Power Center and Python. And the promise is for myself is to be useful for my client, to give my client value. And maybe if I can do that, I can finally feel good about myself again. Because, after my wife died, I haven't found a fulfillment in anything I do. Or to find the food doesn't taste well and my hobbies don't care about my hobbies. So, I don't know. Maybe I need to just work on myself and do a very good job and maybe I'm going to find satisfaction again. So that's the plan. And thank you for listening. You indeed are. And see you tomorrow.